Hello and welcome back to the BTL, the Better Through Letter with Reb T, the show where we talk how to make ourselves better through using the Ramban's letter. Again, this is the letter the Ramban wrote to his son. It's a wonderful letter, a wonderful exposition for us to be more moral, to work on our different traits, work on our different ethics and personalities. We talked the introduction, we talked the letter itself, then we talked lesson two. Now we're in lesson two, looking at the next phrase. Uvazeti natsal min hakas. Gentle speech will protect you from anger. Anger is such a difficult thing to control, such a harsh trait to have in amongst us. The Maimonides Rambam explains this is one of the two aspects where we're supposed to completely eradicate ourselves from this trait. In all aspects of life, usually we're supposed to go to the middle of the road. Don't eat too much, don't eat too little. Don't learn too much, don't learn too little. Balance out your day into thirds. You know, work, be with your family, and do Torah. So with everything, usually we're supposed to balance things out. But when it comes to anger, kas, and when it comes to arrogance, and being someone who's full of themselves, you have to go to the opposite extreme. You have to banish it from your life, banish it from yourselves. Again, the Gemara talks about three ways people can look at you and understand your true essence, and one of them is kas. So make sure that we don't have that. We want to have that soft answer to take away all the harsh words. The deep anger, which is in part, is easily seen in people, unfortunately, and a lot of times, even if there's a superficial rage that goes away, that's not good. Somebody who's easy to anger and easy to appease, his gain is offset by his loss, Perkelvis explains. Someone who's hard to anger but easy to appease, that's the really good person. Someone who is hard to anger and hard to appease, not great. And someone who you know, is easy to anger and easy to appease, still not so great. You want to be hard to anger and easy to appease, as Pirkei Avos explains. That's the best way to go. Well, one provocative remark can kindle anger. Even the most intense fury can be soothed by a gentle word. The Chavetz Chaim advises, again, this is the Igeres of Ramban, the letter for the ages, with the help of Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer, a tremendously wonderful book. You could buy it if you want to read along. We try to highlight different things, try not to read every single thing he writes, even though it's an intensely good book. So again, the Chavetz Chaim advises, by responding in a soft and gentle tone, your words may be able to soothe, even if your deeds cannot. A gentle response can turn away even the most harsh people. Again, like we talked about yesterday, somebody who's angry wants to ire you up, wants to rage you out, wants to make you incited as well, wants to make you upset. But if you answer in a soft way, that'll get him to calm down, because that's not what he expected you to do. One cannot conquer anger without wisdom. A great, great idea, which I think would be good for all of us to do. I can't remember to do this idea. Maybe I'll try Bli Neder. We'll see. But a great idea is set aside a sum of money that you will give away if you allow yourself to be angered. Be sure that the amount you designate is sufficient to force you to think twice before you lose your temple. If someone has enraged you, try to avoid looking him in the eye while your anger is intense. And this way you will more easily control your rage. A lot of times they say, a lot of people explain that if you're really mad at someone, it's better to walk away, count to 10, and then come back. I don't really like the idea where you just go to sleep without talking about it, where you go to sleep without working it out. Some people go to sleep angry. Personally, I don't really like that so much. But the idea of walking away until your rage subsides, so your anger goes down, is a good one, because it allows you to slow down, to calm down before you write something or say something that you might regret. A lot of times if someone upsets me at work, I call my wife and we try to figure out what to write before I write something that I will regret. When you write things with words, then they can never be taken back. Those words, especially when it's written down, it's in an email, or it's in your notes, or whatever, you can't really take that back. So before you write something, think twice before you speak. Think twice before you say something or write something. You can't write something when you're angry. You can't write something when you're upset, because you're not in the proper mindset. You have to sleep on that and then think about what to write. So if you're angered by someone, not a spouse, not a family or a friend, let's say you're angered by a boss or by a coworker, before writing something to them, let yourself sleep on it. Let yourself think how you could do about it. A lot of times a good night's sleep, we should all be zochet to always get good night's sleep. Hard to do when we have three wild children, but whatever. When you try to get the good night's sleep and you try to sleep on it, a lot of times then you're able to write something more positive and more helpful than if you were angry. Rabbi Menachem Meiri relates that when you have, if a person was very easily angered, like this king in a parable, remember that you are merely a creature. You yourself are not the creator. Remember that you are flesh and blood and will eventually perish. And remember that there will be mercy for you in the future only if you have mercy on others. And this is pointed out in Sefer Hamidos, brought to us again by Rabbi Feuer. Really, we understand we're not in control of the universe. There's so little we could do to control that which is around us. If we understand that we're powerless, really, it's all in Hashem's hands. Why are we getting so angry? Isn't this what Hashem wanted? Divine providence is everywhere. Hashem controls every aspect of our life. Hashem controls everything we do, everything we see, everything we hear. It's all orchestrated by Him. So if He gave you a provocation, He's basically testing you. He's giving you nisyonos and Isurim, and it should only be through simple things like taking out the wrong dollar bill or writing the wrong check. It should be easy things. If you're provoked, it's Hashem trying to see what you're doing, trying to get you to respond. There's a famous saying that on Erev Yom Tov and Erev Shabbos, the Satan comes out, the Yetzer Hara comes out. And I always wondered, why am I so much more easily annoyed, more easily upset, especially by my kids on Erev Shabbos? And I realized that the Satan is out to try to get us. The evil incarnation is trying to ruin your mood for Shabbos. Shabbos is my favorite part of the week. I always say the epitome of the entire week, the climax of the entire week, is when my wife and I sit down, we read our Jewish novels, our Jewish mystery suspense thrillers from Shar Press. There's amazing ones, and we sit down with our pomegranate seeds and our lassos or our sour belts, and we read. That is my favorite time of the entire week. But if the Satan gets to us, the Yetzer Hara gets to us in Erev Shabbos, then you're ruining that peace. You're ruining the wonderful aspect of coming into Shabbos, and your Shabbos comes into broken, angered, upset, instead of being peaceful and content. Hashem is testing us. Every week He'll bring it back. Maybe this week you'll be better. Maybe the next week will be better and better. But if you're able to fight that Yetzer Hara, not let the kids upset you, not ruin going into Shabbos, that's a great thing. Because remember, we're not the Creator. We're just flesh and blood. There's a great story of the Chavetz Chaim. But first, let's just explain, remembering that self-control, you need the great discipline for it. And don't think that a tzaddik is naturally mild-mannered person. The Chavetz Chaim worked constantly to improve his character. He struggled, prayed, and reflected, refining his midos till they were sterling. A disciple once hid under a bench to observe the Chavetz Chaim, and they saw that when he came, the elderly tzaddik came, he prayed to Hashem to help him overcome feelings of anger. Can you imagine the great Chavetz Chaim had to pray about anger? Allah has come of a kama. How much more so the rest of us? What do we have to do in order to do that? Rav Moshe Feinstein, though, coming back to him, was known for his pleasant demeanor. Even in the most provocative of situations, he would avoid an angry response. Look at this crazy story Rav Foy points out. When a yeshiva student questioned him regarding his serenity, he made it clear the quality was not easy to attain or even natural to him. It is years I've worked on perfecting this trait, he said. And crazy story, after World War II, the Schlesinger Brothers Publishing Company published a fine edition of the Talmud. Rav Moshe was among the first to purchase a set of the expensive volumes. Once, while using one of the new volumes, he momentarily left the room. He had been using a dip pen and a bottle of ink, like in the olden days, a couple of years ago. That's what they did before the advent of technology and pens and pencils, regular ones, and smart technology. While he was away, a student unintentionally knocked over the bottle, spilling black ink all over the page. He wanted to see this Talmud. He wanted to see this beautiful brand new Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Can you imagine the utter humiliation, the utter embarrassment, and the utter shame that this student was feeling? He must have been mortified. He must have been terribly, terribly distraught. The student, as he stood in shame, and he was probably trembling and upset, what in the world is the Rosh Yeshiva going to do? The Rosh Yeshiva returns to the room, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Upon perceiving what had happened, however, Rav Moshe smiled pleasantly and he assured the student the Gemara still looked beautiful and with a comforting glance returned to study. He literally saw that the student put ink on his brand new Talmud. You know how much money he probably spent on the Talmud set? You know how much hope he probably had in using that Talmud set? But Hashem ordained, he knew that Hashem ordained that this Talmud would be ruined, besmirched on one of the pages as a test of Rav Moshe, and he passed with flying colors, even going out of his way to combat any anger feelings to make the Talmud feel better and to make the Talmud realize that it really wasn't his fault. He didn't do it on purpose. What a wonderful, wonderful example. And he didn't even leave so many years ago. It wasn't hundreds of hundreds of years ago. It was maybe a half a century or so ago. I don't remember exactly, but what a wonderful example of how we could try to work on ourselves, especially in the area of anger. Join us next time as we talk lesson 3 here on the BTL with Reb T.